tell what I can't be true. Now who do I call when I'm down to a dime and run out of favors, run out of time, can't stay where I'm standing, don't know where I'm bound, which lie to tell when there's no one around. You can hold on to the truth like a diamond in your hand, grind it down till it turns into sand. Everything I had, I just threw it away, leaving nothing to hold on to, nothing to say. I can't go there, and each road I take leads nowhere. Where do I wander? Where do I roam? Which lie to tell when I can't go home? Get it on.
Hello and welcome to the Wednesday edition of American Hit Radio. I'm your host, Tom Ryan. We're here every Wednesday and Friday at 5 p.m. from 5 to 6, bringing you 1 hour of music and music history. Of course, with me, my lovely co-host and bride, Heidi Morales Ryan.
I'm getting up close and personal to you today.
Yeah. We're sharing a mic today, which is a bit unusual, and that is because today's a special show. We have a special guest in the studio, that baritone voice that you heard singing that track right there, which, by the way, is entitled Which Lie to Tell. That voice belongs to Mr. Gene Casey of Gene Casey and the Loan Sharks, and he is kind enough to join us in the studio today here at WHBC. Hello, Gene.
Hello, Tom and Heidi.
Great to see you, man. Mike, is Gene's mic up?
Now it is.
Sorry. Oh, okay. There we go.
Well, I just said hello. That's all I said. Tom and Heidi and everybody out there.
Great to have you. I want to congratulate you on the new CD, first of all. I've been listening to this for a while. I think you know I've had it. I even was able to review it.
That's right. And I've plastered that review all over my website, MySpace, everything.
Really?
Very, very proud of it. I'm going to do T-shirts with your review on it.
Awesome.
I should have even been more enthusiastic. You know, I really, to be honest about it, I really was being 100% honest. There's really nothing to say except, you know, how good it is. I've known you, really, I feel like I've known you forever.
Well, now, was that hard for you to do since, you know, we go back and we kind of like each other in a kind of manly way?
And, no, he's panned other friends before.
Okay, all right. Then it's,
I mean, the truth is, usually what I'll do if I'm afraid of the politics is I'll just step back. I'd rather not say anything than insult somebody because that's never fun. It's totally cruel and unkind. And nothing is better. And to be 100% honest, there's not a whole lot of musician friends I have that put out CDs that I love.
Oh, right, okay.
Really the truth. I mean, you probably know this. There's a lot of people who are making music that
can't you just pick like one like really good font that you used on the CD, man?
Yeah, exactly. Nice cover shot, you know, like that. But to write a whole review around that doesn't work. Luckily with yours, I mean, I didn't even have to stoop to the thing where you have to explain each and every track because the CD, there's a lot of continuity to it, and the singing is flat out awesome. I mean, you're getting better. This is not your first CD. This is maybe your fourth?
Yeah, I guess it is with the Lone Sharks and without the Lone Sharks. I guess this is... number four, yeah, you're right.
That's pretty cool. So obviously you got a lot of experience, you know, with this.
As any musician will tell you, it's really difficult to kind of capture what you do live in a studio. And I guess I've been learning a little bit as I go along.
That being said, it's some of this stuff is hard to say because I do know you so well. But I mean, in a lot of ways right now, I feel like you are like holding like you're like the letter mark for live music on Long Island in a lot of ways. And I say that in terms of, and our engineer Mike knows this as well with what I'm talking about. There's two different types of bands that play on Long Island for the most part now. There are cover bands that feel the desperate need to do nothing but, say, top 40, the things that are going to bring the crowd into the bar.
Or Leonard Skinner.
They're going to want to do that type of thing, bar music.
Yeah.
And then you've got the pay-to-play bands, the bands that are doing original music that really can't get themselves arrested on Long Island because there's no good venue for live music.
I should mention that I'm playing a show tomorrow and am selling tickets on my own. So,
there's
a perfect example.
Exactly how that situation works. Now, Gene, you've actually managed to somehow solve that problem with the Lone Sharks.
We're a Lone Shark tribute band, basically.
Exactly. What's better than that?
Well, of course, having said that, a large degree of what the Lone Sharks and I have done live are just real classic, original, or rather vintage rock and roll, rhythm and blues. And the original tunes that we do perform are clearly in that tradition. So somehow that works for us, you know.
Yeah, you said something about that on the way here, Heidi, about Gene's influences or something that you were noticing.
Yeah, I was just thinking that the stylings are like channeling a lot of classic styles, even though they're totally original songs.
Yeah, I mean, you know, when people say, oh, it's derivative, I've never quite understood that as a negative thing because every work is derived from your influences. And I'm not trying to pass off like I'm a total original. You've never heard anything like this before, folks.
That might be scary if that was the case.
I wear the love I feel for this music and on my sleeve. It's there and it's in my songs. And the guys that we grew up loving and admiring and respecting, it was clear who they loved and were influenced by. So it's no big mystery.
That's sort of the whole concept of roots music, Americana, how like one thing is linked up to something else. And I always felt that that is where the best music is because, you know, if it doesn't have its something which is actually grounds it somehow, then it's almost like a chia pet. Like you could be totally original, but it's...
You lost me on the chia pet. I've got to think about that
a little bit.
Well, I guess what I mean is it's sort of like if you were totally original and it didn't really ground itself to anything, then it's just sort of floating in space.
Like
it's
a fern.
It's not,
yeah,
more or less. Something like that.
All right.
So, but... on your CD, you got 12 tracks, and you've written them all on the disc.
Yes.
Right? There's no covers on there.
No. That's the other side of the coin is I'll be glad any day of the week to play you a Carl Perkins tune, a Johnny Cash tune, an old R&B tune, anytime. I love it. But when it comes to booking time in a studio and really getting into a recorded project, you have to go with the original music because that's the point. Because why would you want a record of me doing Carl Perkins when you can buy a
the Carl Perkins?
Right. You know, so there you go.
That's well, the track we just played, Which Light to Tell, which kicks off the CD. By the way, the name of the CD is What Happened.
Right.
And the leadoff track, Which Light to Tell, it sounds a little bit like the vocal, I guess, is a bit Johnny Cash because I've never heard you sing quite that deep before.
Well, actually, when I did the first take, it was an octave higher. And then I listened back and I said, I want it to get really low. And I got really close up to the microphone and I could do it. And actually, I was thinking of course, Johnny Cash, but also Lee Hazelwood had just passed away. He had a really great kind of gravelly low voice. So
yeah, almost like a speaking voice in the way that he did it. Yeah.
So that was another influence there.
In a lot of ways, it probably benefits the tune because the song is like this deeply personal reflection, trying to determine if you should, I guess the way I read it is whether or not it pays to sustain a lie, to live a lie.
Yeah.
Do you face up to the truth?
It's kind of a guy talking to himself.
Yeah. So you have that moment of reflection, and it behooves the song to have you sounding like you're like getting a little bit more like deep down and personal in that sense.
Mm-hmm. That's the effect.
Well, I could play the CD, and I do plan on playing some more from the CD, but you did bring a guitar.
Yeah, one of them.
One of them. An acoustic one. This might be an interesting experience for me because I think every time I see you play, you're playing your electric guitar.
Yeah. Well, actually, with this record, I've been doing some kind of like coffee house type gigs, which is something all these years I've not really ever done.
So you're playing some solo gigs?
Starting to. It's a little,
Wow.
Yeah. So just to do it because I can't just wait for the other guys to come and join me. There's opportunities and places to play that, like, especially in the North Fork where I live out east, like the wine places,
Yeah, so that's right.
I've been
right.
able to take the acoustic guitar out and figure out that act.
That's great. I'm really glad to hear that because, obviously your reputation precedes you out there. Everybody knows the Lone Sharks. Everybody knows Gene Casey on the East End. And they're thinking of you as probably a minimum three-piece, perhaps a four-piece band. But there's all these situations where you could play acoustic. So maybe you could give us a taste about what it feels like to attend one of those gigs then.
Sure. Okay. Let me think. This is a tune that's on the record. And kind of lends itself to strum. This is called It Should Rain. All right?
Great.
The stars have no round, shining bright. Standing tall in the sky, so clear. Without you here, it should rain. Now the sun rose today, but it should fade away and gather the clouds and the thunder so light as to drown out the sound. The tears falling down. It should rain, it should never be light. It should fall through the day, all through the night, and never let me see what has befallen me. It should rain. Now the earth has no ground for spinning round. Turn
little bit light, it should fall through the day, all through the night, and never let me see what has befallen me.
Thank you. Thank you.
Standing
thank you.
Ovation.
It's because we are, but.
No, thank you.
No, it's truly, really, truly beautiful. It's quite an experience for me to hear you playing an acoustic guitar like that.
I hope I didn't make you too sad, Tom.
Yeah, it's
you're right.
You know what happens sometimes in the studio.
You have a tendency to get very verklempt.
I can get verklempt and weepy. A true sign of a really good song is if you can strip it down to its absolute basic elements. And if it still manages to sound like it is powerful enough to affect you, like you don't need the effects or the drums or the synthesizers or the production to make the song work. And that works at least as well acoustically as it does on the CD.
Well, that's how basically I wrote this record. In the past, I've been so concerned with the band, promoting the band, and worrying if Chris and Joe and Andy and Tony, were they going to be happy? Were they going to like the song? Were they going to be featured? Does it sound like the Lone Sharks? I overly consumed with that issue, and to the point where I think it kind of stifled me. So this time, I didn't think about them at all. I just I just wrote the songs because they were coming to me, and then I went into a studio and I kind of did a demo and I did another one. And suddenly I realized I have a kind of a record, kind of like a semi-solo record. And so all the songs were written with the guitar strumming. And
that's cool. And that explains a lot too, because I think a lot of people know you as, the band, as the Lone Sharks.
Right, as an entity.
Right, so you see Gene Casey in the Lone Sharks, and all of a sudden it's like, what's going on there? What's that about?
But it's like when Diana Ross, before she split the Supremes, people are like, oh, here it comes. Well,
so have you written your Someday We'll Be Together yet?
I just did that for actually a couple of reasons. Like I just said, it is kind of a semi-singer-songwriter record, as opposed to like a party record from the Lone Sharks. And also, if you go, unfortunately, around the world, there are a couple other Lone Sharks out there, bands called the Lone Sharks, and which is unfortunate for me. But I don't think any other Gene Casey in the Lone Sharks that I have found.
First one I've heard of.
Yeah, all right.
First one I've heard of. Yeah.
So when you promote it and put it on CD Baby and Amazon, it's just, just to bring people's attention to it.
You know, for what it's worth, too, I can really thoroughly understand what it is that you're trying to get at with this, because as far as your CDs go, you sometimes on the previous CDs they had stellar moments, but there were also times when it sounded as what it sounded like to me was a studio rendition of the band live, and like you said, that's just something that really doesn't translate all the time. It's really hard to capture that.
It is even like the best bands, I think we're always better live anyway,
most of them,
but most of them, true. A band I always loved was I don't know how NRPQ. You're
sure,
a fan of them,
of course.
And some of their records are fantastic, but nothing like what you would see.
Absolutely not.
That's just something that you get lucky at, or you just find the right producer, a studio, and so on. And again, I didn't worry about it this time. I just said, I'm just going to do what I have with the facilities I have and the time.
It's funny you mention NRBQ, because they are maybe the single most shining example of that in terms of, I had a few of their records, and I kind of didn't even necessarily like them much, because they sounded sort of flat, predictable. You hear a song like 12 Bar Blues, and it doesn't really go anywhere on the record. And then you see the band live, And when I saw them actually for the very first time in New Orleans, and
oh, that's a good place to see them.
Yeah, at a roadside bar called Jimmy's. And when I came out of that show thinking that was the best thing I'd ever seen in my life,
sure.
The single best show I'd ever seen. And all of a sudden now, those albums sound about 50 times better to me.
Uh-huh.
You know, because I can hear it through the ears of what I had seen. So now I can relate that back.
Yeah.
Well, with what I hear now, what's happening on your new CD is that without worrying about that aspect of it, you've got what is essentially a more listenable product.
Okay, yeah. Well, that's been the happy consequence of, again, not worrying about things too much. And see, I think in the early days of rock and roll, there was not that many choices. You just got in there and you did your song really quickly.
Right, got it. And you had an hour and a half maybe to do it, and that was it.
And the technology was not so advanced that you had that many choices as to record something. You just used the room, and if you were lucky, you had a good sound. And I kind of just didn't, I didn't set out to, this is going to be my Blood on the Tracks record.
Right,
you know,
this is just,
these were basically demos that kind of blossomed into a record.
Well, by the same token, a lot of the songs are pretty personal. It seems that there are. There's one song that really stuck out in my mind, and I kind of wanted to ask you about it. I was just curious about if there was a story behind it, because it's also, besides being reflective, it's also it's a pensive song. It's near the end. It's called A Better Place.
Right. Yeah.
About somebody passing away, apparently.
Yeah. Yeah. Two people close to me passed away, I guess, the past few years. And, you know, it's when something like that happens to you, I'm not one of these guys that something happened to me, I'm going to run to my guitar and write a song about it. If it happens, it happens. And losing someone close to you is not an easy thing to write about. And I just kind of wrote about, I kept it very simple and as universal as I could. And
that makes it powerful, I think.
Well, thank you.
It definitely hit me at home. Would you mind if we played it? Or
not at all.
We could do it live, or we could play it from the CD?
CD would be great.
Fantastic. From the album, it's called, the album, of course, once again, is called What Happened. The name of this track is A Better Place. We're talking with Gene Casey of Gene Casey and the Loan Sharks.
I hope you're in a better place than here. Hope it's what you wanted. I hope you're happy, dear. Things are how you live them, more or less you know. Before you had to leave us, before you had to go. That's what we tell each other when you come to mind. I hope you're in a better place than the one you left behind. You were always restless, never satisfied. Never in one place too long, always had to ride. What was it you longed for? And did it have a name? Somewhere without anger, somewhere without blame. Maybe now you found it at the journey's end. I hope you found a better place, my friend. A warm, sweet, better place, a place out in the sun. Place to lay your weary head when the work is done. Shelter from the driving wind and comfort from the rain. No need for apologies, no need to explain. Where everyone you ever loved loves you even more. Warm, sweet, better place, that's what I'm hoping for. Thank you.
better place than here. Hope it's how you wanted it. Hope you're happy, dear. Things are how you left them. More or less you know before you had to leave us, before you had to go. That's what we tell each other when you come to mind. I hope you're in a better place than the one you left behind.
I really love that song, Gene. I mean,
thank you.
I really do. It moves me a lot. From the first time I heard it, I was like, "Boy, this is somehow feels like, you know, like it may be relevant." And it's not the type of song you want to be relevant, of course. But
we've all lost somebody, you know, and that is a phrase that comes up. Well, you know, I hope they're in a better place, you know, and that's basically it, you know. And like I said, I kept it as simple and as universal as I could while still getting it out of my system.
I was thinking about, you know, there's a person who, of course, we both know who passed away recently in Montauk. Nick, of course, the guy who owns Nick's. Nick Dean had passed away about, I guess that's 2 weeks now. Just about 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And it was the weekend that we were both playing at that place, and that song was running through my mind. I was like, boy, this is a really beautiful, relevant song.
Well, just if I could just tell the folks, if you can imagine the owner's wife who runs the club calling me in the morning saying that he had passed away, but the show must go on. And so you're there with a bunch of people showing up, half who know about it, half who don't even know who he was.
Of course.
Right.
And so some people want to, let's turn this into a wake. Other people are just business as usual.
They want to drink and party and dance.
Well, that's kind of like what we did, because after all, what our band does, you know, it's a kind of an up-tempo thing.
It's an Irish wake.
But at the same time, you know, I didn't want to address it, because she that was actually her wish, was not to make a big deal about it. But it was strange, and if you would just indulge me for a second.
Of course.
It was a little similar to 9/11, where trying to do gigs after that was very, very challenging, because what we do, your band and my band, is very positive, uplifting, fun, silly, rock and roll, indulgent, you know, music, and perhaps not appropriate at certain times.
Yeah, you're not worried about toying with the crowd a little bit. You can make your drinking jokes and overindulging.
Yeah, so it was weird then and still is. I don't know. You just got to, you know, keep going.
Yeah, well, I think that you guys did a great job of it.
Oh, thanks.
And I know for a fact how it went over, because there was one guest who came up to sing with you, and he did sing something, which was a bit of a eulogy. Mm. And there was a guy in back of me said, "What is this, a wake?"
Yeah.
And I said, "Well, actually, you know," and I clued him in, and he's like, "Oh God, now I feel like such a jerk. I had no idea."
Yeah.
I'm like, "You know what? You didn't really have to know. If it wasn't for that song, you never would have known."
Right.
So it pretty much falls exactly in line with what you're saying. That being said, I mean, you and I have been on the same circuit. You actually have been on the circuit for a long time. I'm just recently finally, after paying stupid number of dues with a lot of different bands.
Yeah.
Beginning to get to a place where I can say I'm finally with a bunch of guys that I love and I'm comfortable with and playing the same circuit as you.
Now, are you allowed to talk about your band? Isn't that like against the Alan Freedlaw.
Yeah, actually, it probably is a bad idea, just for a lot of other reasons.
Okay,
it'll all come back to bite me if I do it too much.
Then again, we do play you like every day.
Well, because the theme song is
us. The theme song, so technically, yeah.
One of the earlier versions of those bands that I was alluding to, though, actually recorded that theme song.
Okay. But,
I guess what I would like to talk about is some of the gigs that we are playing, maybe things that are coming up that you do.
Yeah, there is actually a very, very cool thing. Now, I'm sure folks in the listening area do go out east, especially on weekends and so on, which is where most of our gigs are, out on the east end of Long Island. But the Saturday after Labor Day, which is September 6th.
I hope so. Yes. There's a calendar there.
Especially folks, if you ever get to Shelter Island, this is for you. An all-day beach blast concert.
Yeah, 6th.
With a bunch of bands, and including the Blackguards, some Hawaiian band. It's a great thing if folks, so I'm sure maybe some of folks out there have actually been to this thing. It's an annual event. And the Loan Sharks, and we're very proud to be backing up a rockabilly great, Sleepy LaBeef.
So right.
That's going to be a lot of fun. And that's Saturday, September 6th on Shelter Island at Wade's Beach.
It's great. It's a short ferry ride, and it's all day. This thing starts, if I recall, at about maybe 2 or 3 in the afternoon.
Yeah, it's great. And it's like they have a barbecue and all that stuff.
They roast sandwiches.
Yeah, they roast the pig. They got roast pork sandwiches.
Now, if Heidi approves of it, that's saying something.
That's saying something, yeah. If you get the New Orleans girl to say it's a party worth going to, it's definitely right. We're talking hundreds of people show up for this thing, and maybe, I don't know, 8 bands, 8 different acts, perhaps?
I think, yeah, that sounds right.
Something like that. So we got music all day and dancing on the beach, and, of course, the Loan Sharks, who have been a featured act for these parties now for well over a decade, I'd say.
Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah, yeah. The time flies.
It sure does. I was trying to think of how long I've known you, and I'm like, I have to go all the way back to the days.
But
when
do you really know me, Tom?
That's right.
Do you really ever know somebody?
Do you ever really know somebody? That's right. As much as I can.
All right.
Especially when, you know, in our circle, you basically got to keep your cards close to your vest anyway, don't you?
Mm-hmm. You know, I wanted to ask while you're still talking about Wade's Beach, how was it playing with Wanda Jackson? You played with her 1 year, right?
That was about 3 or 4 years ago, and that was a really great experience because, I mean, in the rockabilly roots rock and roll world, she is truly a legend and the queen of rockabilly. And we met her that afternoon. she came out, we met her, we did a rehearsal for about an hour, and then next time we saw her was on stage, and she was such a pro. It was a real experience just in how she conducted herself and her cues and her preparation. And, you know, this might not sound like much, but say it was like 1 o'clock in the afternoon, we met her, rehearsed briefly, went over the songs, and we introduced ourselves to her, basically. And then 8 hours later, on stage, she remembered all our names without writing it down.
Phenomenal.
She really had that kind of just intensity. I'm sure the next day it was gone, but but she was a sweet lady, and she was still great. And
that was a great show. I remember I was on the side of the stage for that, and I was tired of gaga about it. I can't believe that you guys only had an hour to rehearse with her.
Yeah, we had done our homework for sure, and I was very proud of our band, actually, I'll say that, because we kind of rose to the occasion and acted like we've been doing it for a long time.
Right, right, exactly. And you know what? I've heard her with another band, and I think that she sounded better with the Loan Sharks.
Oh, right.
I mean that. We took a trip into the city to see her with a bunch of other guys, and I'm like, it's more fun watching her with the Loan Sharks. Since we're talking about the band itself, we should mention some of the guys who are in the band, some of the other players.
We should.
I mean, why not? Let's get to it. I mean, it's an obligation, right?
Well, currently, thank you. Yeah. My drummer for over 10 years is Chris Ripley, who's probably listening in.
Awesome. Good.
And
hey, Chris.
Swingin' Cat. And the saxophone player is Paul Scher. He's on about 3 or 4 cuts in this record. And I kind of have 2 different bass players in the band. Tony Palumbo is upright bass player, as well as my good friend, your friend, Joe Lauro on upright bass. Andy Burton plays here and there with us, and there's me.
Right. Now, some of the guys in the band are getting a bit of a reputation nationally to an extent, some of the players. I know Andy Burton's been playing with a bunch of people. He's been with Ian Hunter, I believe he's been on tour.
Yes, he has.
On and off. I know Paul Scher, the sax player, has been playing with a bunch of people. This was really funny because last time I was in New Orleans, I literally bumped into him, and he said, "Oh, you got to come see us play at a show." So we show up that night, and Heidi, this is funny. You should tell this story.
No, you can tell it. He was actually playing with a friend of mine, but I didn't know that the friend of mine actually had a band. I always knew the guy and his wife as like people that I danced with at Jazz Fest and at various gigs around town. So it's kind of funny.
Yeah, we just figured somebody that we knew just peripherally, and it turns out that he's got a band and Paul's in the band.
In the band. He's played with a lot of people. Etta James, he played with... I think Jimmy Witherspoon once in Lowell Folsom, way back, of course.
Wow.
But Paul gets around. He's a good friend of Bill Kirchen and that whole circuit. So, yeah, playing with Paul is really cool.
Now, Chris is quite the musician, too. I mean, he's actually a music teacher, if I recall. He teaches music for a living. And
Yeah, Chris is, he's a jazz guy at heart, you know, and I really think that has a big part how the Lone Shark Sam, when we do rock and roll. You know,
definitely.
He's got that swing thing going.
I've always said that. He basically makes you guys swing. Where I would tend to, pound my way through something. Chris has got a much lighter touch, and he's got finesse. You know, there I am, breaking strings and cymbals and sticks and knocking things over.
Chris, no, you break strings too. As
yeah,
you play drums.
That's when I throw my stick,
but it happens. No. Well, Tom's folks, and he's not going to say this, but Tom is a great drummer and a great musician, and Tom has often sat in with the Lone Sharks, and it's been a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's one of my favorite things to do, sitting in with you guys, because it's a totally different flavor. You really, you see, playing with Eugene, what happens is, for me anyway, is I'm sitting in, and I don't know what song you're going to call, ever. And I just have a feeling whatever it is, I'd better be paying attention. So if the guitar player is not good at telegraphing changes, it's a terrible place to be for a drummer.
Oh, imagine.
You could sit there and just not have any clue if you're going to be giving the right tempos, if you're going to hit the stops, or if you're going to be playing through something where you shouldn't be. And it's great to have a guitar player who knows when, to raise the neck of a guitar and when to, put a hand back to say, bring it down. And it makes all the difference in the world.
Yeah. I don't know if my drummer Chris would agree with you, but...
Let him play with my guitar player sometime, and we'll see what he thinks.
Okay.
Nah. How about you give us another song that you want, if anything, since you've brought the guitar along?
I did. I bought the darn thing. I might as well play it.
Then all the more reason.
Well,
if you're done with it after the show, I'd be more than happy to take it off your hands.
Well, I'll do... we've been playing some slow and sad tunes. I'll bring it up a little bit.
Good idea.
And this is called Bad Baby. It's a really stupid rockabilly song. All right? If you want to clap along, I forgot to bring the bongos in. But here we go.
Oh, that's
Yeah, baby. Is that stupid enough for you?
Stupid is good. You know, it's really funny because Heidi was talking about that song the other day. There were a couple of different times we've seen interesting things happen with that song. I've seen you play it live when there were like mothers with their kids and the kids were dancing in front of the stage.
Babies,
and
yes.
It gives you something to play off of, like, you know, lyrically, obviously. It makes it a lot of fun.
Well, it is about Heidi. And
That's the best part, is when it's about your girlfriend or your wife that, you know, and you know it. That was my next question, damn. I can't go there now.
It's too personal, Tom. I'm sorry.
Oh, everything's changed since you've come here, Heidi. You see that? Yeah, everything. That's a beautiful thing. Let's see. Now, there's a few other tracks on the CD, actually, that are also way up tempo.
Sure.
That kind of match. I know Gone Hollywood is, you know, yeah, kind of up there. Not quite as, you know, I guess stupid as you want to say, but in fact, it's kind of fun in its own way. And
okay,
what I really enjoy about the song is there's this dueling solo thing that's going on. I think it's between you and Paul.
The sax and the guitar, yeah.
Yeah, and there's times on there where I'm thinking, like, I say that all the time. It's like, man, you're burning tonight. This is crazy. There's times I don't even want to go like anywhere near the stage after you're playing because it just is like, oh, you know.
The essence, yeah.
Yeah.
You still can just, there.
The smoke the aura. Still coming off of the guitar.
Well, this was one that came pretty close to capturing the live sound in the studio, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's a tough one. But, yeah, that's Paul Scher on tenor sax and yours truly on guitar on this one.
That's awesome. I think this is a good one to play because I think it does convey. If you go to see the Lone Sharks live, if you ever do get a chance, whether it is at the Wade's Beach Party on September 6th or anywhere else, I think that this is the best way for me to give you a sense of what it is that you're more than likely to hear when you see the band. Again, we're playing tracks from their new CD. The CD itself is called What Happened. Of course, it's Gene Casey and the Lone Sharks, and the name of this track is Gone Hollywood.
Left of you, cutting all the cords.
smoking. That's Gone Hollywood. Man, that's awesome. We are here live in the studio with Gene Casey of Gene Casey and the Loan Sharks. And when I say here in the studio, I mean at WHPC 90.3 FM in Garden City, New York. The show is American Hit Radio. I'm your host, Tom Ryan, with Heidi Morales Ryan. And we are here every Wednesday and Friday from 5 to 6 p.m. If you like the show, if you want to hear it again, or if you want to say you missed a part of it, you want to hear it from the very beginning, you can catch it on our website. We're going to post this show on our website, so you can pretty much click on it whenever you want to and hear it at will. That is at AmericanHitNetwork.com or AmericanHitRadio.com. Both work fine. They take you to the same place. We're going to have an archive as well. We do have an archive as well. We put every show up onto our archive. There's about 300 shows deep there. They're all arranged chronologically, so the newest show is always right up on top. So if you want to go to the archive and fish around a little bit, the show's going to be there forever, as long as I'm paying my bills. Anyway, this show will be there. And the archive is Shut Up and Listen. That's shaddupandlisten.com. That's where we got pretty much every show we've done for about the past 3 or 4 years now. We've got a lot of shows up there now, going deep. And like I said, they're arranged chronologically. So either place, whether it's AmericanHitNetwork.com, AmericanHitRadio.com, or even ShutUpAndListen.com. And Gene, you've got a bunch of websites and stuff where people can find your stuff too, right?
Yeah. Oh, there's, of course, LoanSharks.com, and that's L-O-N-E, Sharks.com. And, of course, MySpace, which is working pretty good for me. I don't know about for you guys.
Yeah, it's actually, we can't complain either. Yeah. We don't really ride it too hard. We've got, thank goodness, we're lucky in one sense with our band that we've got two guys who are really good at graphic design and, and web promotions. So between the two of them, they do an awful lot of great work for us so that we get some coverage when we do play out. But your website at MySpace seems to be doing great.
Yeah, it's just very simple. It's very, I mean, if I can do it, you know, anyone can. It's very easy. And it's really good for just the immediacy of getting back to people and letting people into the bulletin and so on. So, yeah, myspace.com/loanjarks.
Yeah.
And, yeah, that's where you can find out where we're playing and how to get the record and all that stuff. Pictures.
Yeah. Stories.
Yeah.
Lots of stories.
And there's actually also a website for this beach blast that you and I were talking about. On Shelter Island is actually a website for it.
Is it just beachblast.com?
I think it's S-I for Shelter Island. SIBeachBlast.com.
Excellent.
And has the schedule and directions and all the information anyone would need.
That's, of course, you know, with the Loan Sharks playing at that show with Sleepy LaBeef. My own band, the Blaggers, are going to be playing there as well. And a number of other bands. I know that the Moondogs, who are historically there all the time, they're going to be playing for part of that show. And the Moonlighters, I believe, are part of the
program.
That's
like a Hawaiian pop band. They play like swing music and Hawaiian type music.
See, this is what Joe does, the coolest things. I mean, this is why these parties are so fun, because it's always filled out with a lot of like really interesting flavors. To keep it diverse, and it never gets dull. There's always something that's going on the stage. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, go-go girls, too.
Go-go girls, a lot of that. Well, let's see if we can get to another one. If you don't mind, Gene, give us like one more acoustic, if I beg you.
Sure, man.
Squeeze it in.
Well, this song is it's called I Was Right, and it's actually the oldest song on the record. And I kind of was thinking of the great Arthur Alexander when I wrote this.
Oh, one of my favorites.
Yeah, he was one of those guys that kind of mixed up rhythm and blues and country music.
So. The guy who wrote Anna.
Yeah. So here's my kind of Arthur Alexander type tune.
Suspicion's been confirmed. Another night.
Oh, you're giving away all your secrets on that one, man. That's awesome, because when I was reviewing the record, I was trying to pick out influences. And now that you mention it, I hear, you know, like I hear that "You Better Move On" thing.
Oh, yeah.
Going on in
you
there.
You
got to
steal
bit.
From the best, man. I tell
oh,
you.
That, and he is. I mean, not a lot of hits, but the ones that he had counted, boy.
Big influence on John Lennon, Paul McCartney.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. Well, Soldier of Love, I believe, another one of his.
And the Stones covered "You Better Move On."
Right.
And yeah, just one of those guys that kind of fell into the cracks.
Early Bee Gees did a song of theirs even called "Every Day I Have to Cry."
Oh, yeah. They did that, huh?
Yeah. I mean, back when they were still in Australia, when they were teenagers. I mean, yeah, teenagers, my gosh. They might not have even been teenagers, the twins in that band at that time. Incredible. So, yeah, he got around at that time. And yet it's really funny that he ended up fading away, almost vanishing, and they found him driving a bus.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's just one of those things. I mean, that's just how it is in the business.
Yeah.
And but, yeah, he was a big influence and big in England for some reason. So,
right.
Yeah. So that was my attempt at Arthur Alexander, too.
Great job, and it's good to know. It's a beautiful song. I mean, I love the CD, Gene. I really do. I mean, I think it's consistent. I think that what we're playing and what you're basically showing us, basically from the performance aspect of it too, that this material's got, you know, it's got a lot of legs. I think it's going to be around for a while.
Well,
this
thanks.
One.
Thanks. Thank you.
I certainly hope it does. We're just about out of time. Maybe we can maybe play one more on the way out. And this is the song that I think Heidi was suggesting, that if you ever do a video.
Oh.
She was saying, this is perhaps the one. Heidi's got...
Yeah, we were conceptualizing the video on the
please.
Ride over.
Yeah? You want to be my stylist? And, you know, we can get you on the gig.
Believe me, if she's going to be anybody's stylist, it should be mine, because God knows I need it too. But this is something
which
that's
one
really...
Which I'm curious.
Please Don't Dance.
All right.
And the reason the thing that's really odd about it is that it's a Loan Shark song, and it's impossible to not dance when you see these guys live. Take my word for it, it's impossible. So Gene's pretty much asking the impossible, knows it, and that's what makes the song so fun. Gene, I want to once again thank you so much for coming in and making the time to be with us today.
It's totally my pleasure, Tom and Heidi. Thank you.
It's a great hour, and we appreciate it very much. Best of luck with the CD and, of course, with the Loan Sharks. Of course, it's called What Happened. You can go to the website on MySpace / The Loan Sharks or Loan Sharks?
Loan Sharks.
Loan Sharks.
L-O-N-E.
L-O-N-E. And once again, take care, everybody, and I look forward to seeing you next Friday at 5 p.m. This is Tom and Heidi saying goodbye from American Hit Radio, and we'll see you then. Take care, everybody.
Bye.
Please don't dance, baby, when I'm talking to you. Please don't dance, baby, until I'm through. I need your attention in the very worst way, but you don't listen to a word I say. Please don't dance, baby, when I'm talking to you. Said I wasn't the possessive type, I was lying.
I told you that I wasn't the emotional kind. Now I'm crying. I said I'd be around for a long, long time. Now I'm dying.